Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The man, the myth, the legend, Justin Cuthbert back in
I didn't expect
the
music, to be honest.
You deserve it. Welcome back. How do we say hello in Portuguese?
Ooh.
Come on, you didn't learn that?
It's not.
How do you,
I was
Spanish?
Saying hola. I do the hola, and I say it like so North American that people are just like, what are you
doing? Hola.
Hola. Hola. It's like one of those
nice
words where you got to be more enthusiastic than you want to be.
Well, welcome back, Justin.
Thank you.
It's been a long time without you. How was your trip?
It was good. It was good. It's a weird, like, when you have a responsibility like a morning show, it's a little weird being gone for very long. And I felt like I was gone for very long. There's a difference, right? Like, it was less than 2 weeks in terms of, like, days. There was also Labor Day in there. So it wasn't like I burned out. It was pretty burnout vacation days. But it wasn't like, you know, here's everything in one shot.
Yes.
But when you have a vacation that crosses parts of 3 weeks, it feels like you're doing something wrong.
A lot can change.
It feels like you're doing something wrong. And you're right. A lot can change, especially with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, let's push the Blue Jays as far from our mind and hear about your trip for as long as you can possibly talk about it. Because we already got texts in here being like, let's just not talk about the Blue Jays today.
Okay, we'll push it off a little bit. I mean, we have to get there eventually. It was a good trip, though. Portugal, Spain, awesome.
Everyone's into Portugal lately. I had 3 friends there while you were there. Did you run into them?
I did. I may have. I just don't know about it. Portugal, I'm a Spain guy. Spain's did a little bit better. A little bit better than Portugal. Might be a food thing. Might just be a lifestyle thing, not really sure, but kind of spent more time in Portugal, wish I spent more time in Spain.
Okay, well, now you know, moving forward.
Yeah.
Hot spots, good spots, city sports.
That's the thing, is like the sports thing is, if I'm going to Europe, and I've been fortunate enough to go to Europe a few times, every time I try to make a point of going to see a soccer game.
Nice.
And this trip lined up the complete opposite way that I wanted it to. Like, everything was just, like, a day out of reach, it seemed like, because they went on an international break in Europe. And right when I arrived, there was a week of games in Portugal, but just missed them. Then there was, I was able to actually catch one, and I'll talk about it in a second. But then the international break starts the next week, and everything just was out of place.
Well, whose fault was the planner
here? And then Spain hosted an international game the day I left. So it was all like,
did you not look at this,
like,
before you went? The flights didn't line up, eh?
It just didn't line up. I may have not looked at it as much as I should. But yeah, it just seemed like it didn't line up perfectly when it could have lined up perfectly. But I did catch one game in a town called Portimão.
Sounds beautiful.
The team, I think, is
Which country is this one?
Portugal.
Okay.
So
it kind of sounds like the word Portugal.
The Portuguese, it does. The Portuguese league is one of the worst in Europe.
Really?
It's not great, right? There's a couple good teams that play in the Champions League every year, but there are a couple teams that are like truly, truly bad, and most of the best players in the world want to play in England or Spain, maybe Germany, maybe France, but like those are
this
the four.
Is low and on then the list,
a little bit lower on the list would be Portugal, and it's with good reason, because I went to a game again in Portimão. I think it was Portimonense is the team. They were 19th in the first league in Portugal, when we watched the game. And honestly, it felt like Texas high school football games would be twice the amount of atmosphere and actual fan capacity. So the bench, like, they were bleachers, which is fine. Like, I just wanted to see a game, see what it's all about. And it was full, the bleachers. It was pretty good. One side was full, the other side wasn't. But yeah, it was like really, really low level in terms of atmosphere.
Could you have played?
No. The players are amazing. The players are very, very good because there are a million leagues, and it is still one of the top leagues, and you get to play actually good teams. And one thing we know about European soccer is there are haves and have-nots. So we go to this one game, and it's like, again, there are high school sports in the United States where you would have way better facilities, atmosphere, everything. And we go after dinner, watch the game. It was fun. Go after to dinner afterwards. And the whole have-not thing just plays out perfectly because there's 3 teams, or 2 teams really, in Portugal who are big, who spend money, who have a massive stadium, who can compete at the highest level, and one of them is Benfica. So we go to this game, watch it, great. Go to a restaurant after. The Benfica game is on a TV.
Oh, cool.
And you're watching 80,000 people probably at this game, fired up. Everyone's wearing the jerseys. They have an eagle fly around for about, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating, I think close to 10 minutes, just flying around pregame as like...
Is it warming up?
Of like just something to, you know, for the fans. Like you know, at the Leaf game, you'll have whatever pregame.
That was me. You have, I could have been an eagle.
You're the eagle. In Portugal, they don't have English sport farms. They have eagles. So this eagle's flying around, and the eagle completes the logo in the middle of the pitch after it's done flying around for like 10 minutes.
You're
so
kidding.
It's this full production.
A real live eagle.
For this like team with money in Lisbon, Benfica. And then that's comes like moments after we just saw what amounted in the same league.
The complete opposite.
To be like the lowest level.
How much were your tickets to this little club?
About 15 euro. It was very like
it's cheap, yeah.
It was very, very cheap.
Versus and the like other, hundreds,
probably
yeah.
100 euro yeah, minimum okay. to get into that game. So cool. It's we talk about haves and have-nots. Why can't you have that in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs? And you kind of have it with Mullet Arena and the Arizona Coyotes.
There's your difference.
Maybe that's like your thing. But that's the difference between laid out perfectly European wow. sport and North American
with
sport,
money
where
and,
everyone's the same. But in Europe, everyone can be far, far different. And you can have eagles entertaining you for 10
can't
minutes.
I believe that.
When the other team just, you know, 2 hours away.
Did the home
has
team
basically
win
nothing.
While you're there?
It was a draw.
Oh, God, even more boring. Did you get any merch? How's their logo?
They
like
did
their
not.
Team?
They had a
they
merch.
They don't even sell
they
it?
They had a merch window, and it was closed for a home game. And they only have, it would be 19 home games a year.
Wow.
Like it was like it's mom and pop. Only the people that live there go. Actually, it was mostly English people who were on vacation that seemed to be going to the game. Like if there were no tourists,
it would be like
there's probably 500 people would be there.
Gritty.
Yeah, it was a little gritty.
What an experience. I haven't been to many foreign countries where I've watched a sporting event. That's one you'll remember.
It's very interesting. That's my favorite part of traveling is going to a sporting event because you see how people consume sports differently. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very interesting when, especially when there is such a contrast between how big it is and they exist in the same ecosystem, when that is just impossible in North America. You can't have teams separating themselves whatsoever. They play by completely different rules. Mm. And you get Eagles at one stadium that has 80,000 people and you have, you know, bleachers and just grab whatever seats available.
I haven't really even stepped foot in Europe, but it's like last on my list of places to really conquer. So I think it's way easier probably in Europe to just catch a local football game, et cetera. So I definitely would do that. Mm-hmm. But what if you're that Eagle trainer? Like how do they train this Eagle to fly the logo and complete it? Like this thing is... This is the world's smartest bird.
And what are the consequences if, like, you don't land perfectly on the logo to finish it? It's like, we need a new eagle next year. I don't know. I don't even know if it's... Is it a one? Because it was, like, the opening game, I think, for Benfica.
Someone will know.
And do they do it every game? I'm not really sure.
But
it was like a full-on party there.
Wow.
Like, with all the pomp and circumstance.
You wish you were there, eh?
Yeah. One more day in the previous spot. And I missed everything by one day, it seemed. I would have been there the day before.
How was the wine?
It was good. Yeah.
What's the food? Like, what do you miss? Like, wish you could bring home in a goodie bag.
Portugal, fish, Spain, you know, the cured ham. Oh, it's good. Just ridiculous. Like butter.
Do you have to go on a diet now?
Yeah, it'll be pretty strict, I think, for the next month.
Feel you.
That's me after PEI when I ate cows.
Pretty strict.
Ice cream with every meal and
then
just
there's
nailed it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the equivalent would be gelato every meal.
Oh,
after every
my
meal.
God.
It's just right there. You have to.
Good coffee, good espressos.
Coffee was fantastic.
Man, I'm kind of jealous. Well, we're happy to
Next
have
summer.
You back. Yeah, I'll put it on my list. I bet if we asked for recommendations on the radio, hey, I'd like to go to Portugal next year, someone will have a perfectly curated Google spreadsheet for us of the places to go.
Spain, Seville, underrated. Seville doesn't get much play. It's all about Barcelona, Madrid. Seville was unbelievable.
Okay, well.
But enough about me.
Post some photos so people can follow along.
I posted a few. Private life.
Do you think that the atmosphere at that little soccer mom and pop shop with no merch stand and one side of bleachers was better than last night's atmosphere at the Blue Jays game?
It was definitely more content. Definitely more content. I'm honestly like, okay, so we should probably start, at least in terms of like my process, before the Texas series. Because I'm watching, right? I'm not staying up till 5 a.m. watching every Blue Jays game when I'm on vacation.
I would be pissed off if you did that.
I would be pissed off at myself. But I'm following the box scores, and I'm thinking, wow. Like, I mean, it's not Buck Martinez 12-3 or 13-2 or whatever it had to be. I don't remember.
It was good.
I mean, what I missed, I think, from three series in full was a 7-2 record. I'm thinking, like, they're doing exactly what they needed to do. It went really well against the have-nots. The Porto Menenses of the world.
That's who they were
they
playing.
They got the job done. But the feeling wasn't even remotely what I thought it was. And again, they got through one Texas game before I was like fully entrenched in things again. So there was a loss on the record and a meaningful one. And the start, I guess, towards rock bottom. But still the attitude, despite going in 7-2, was bad. I don't understand. So fill me in on why 7-2 felt like something far less than 7-2.
Because they weren't dominating wins. They were wins where...
Why do they have to be dominating wins?
Because I want to see something from this team that inspires me that they're not a joke.
So what didn't you see then? Because I didn't see anything the box scores.
Literally, the box scores were not that impressive. Like, they barely...
They won games.
Yeah, a win is fine. But these were games against Oakland, Kansas, and who's the other one?
Washington was in there. Colorado.
Where you... Like, yeah, we were left... just satisfied. But I think at this point it was the time to capitalize on building momentum, dominating teams that are Portland and whatever. And it was just fine. And there was no huge offensive breakout. It was like, oh, you won this one. It was kind of close. Oh, you won this one. And yeah, you should have. It was just a lot of, well, yeah, you should have. You should have won. The box score should show that the Blue Jays won this game. And so I think we're maybe like hesitant optimism, right? Like, okay, maybe this is going to show something for this Blue Jays team. But they never felt like the best team in baseball during the stretch. It never felt like they were actually building momentum. They'd win two, lose one, win two. Then they won three. Congrats against Oakland Athletics. And literally Monday morning when I'm here with Jesse, it was, this is it. They had three wins in a row at home. They're about to start the Texas Rangers series. We were buying in, we were drinking the Kool-Aid that this was actually going to be something that is sustainable with this Blue Jays team. So a little bit of a roller coaster ride of emotions for us here, covering it, trying to find positives. And, you know, there were some, but it wasn't enough that I was ready to be buying postseason tickets.
Was part of it because it was the success that they did have again against the Porto Menenses?
Yeah, there's an asterisk, really. It felt like that.
Was it because it was Bisons led?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the reason
people,
why? Like,
yes.
Only the Bisons were performing,
the
and the Bisons were the
well,
ones that were getting those victories?
We might as well promote the whole Bisons team and demote the whole Blue Jays team at this point. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a lot of frustration. It's like, let's see Vladdy do one single thing. George Springer had one really good game on the weekend. I think he was basically the reason the Blue Jays won.
A couple home runs,
yeah.
One game, yeah.
But there's no consistency. It's one hot, one cold, both cold. One has one good inning. One has this. Pitching was looking a little sus at times. Bullpen, a little sketchy. Starting rotation got hit around a little bit. So there was things. And then Alek Manoah basically took over the storyline of this guy doesn't want to play for the Blue Jays and is pouty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, vibes were bad. And then bad attendance and just yucky feeling.
Well, that's what the main thing that...
Now we're here at Texas.
The thing that was most surprising is that I see that it's a season low attendance after that 7-2 record to start the most important series, the series that's maybe not going to define everything, but could if it's four straight losses.
I mean, we've been saying it's the biggest series
this entire
season.
And we have, 100%. I mean, we knew that before I left. We knew before the Porto Menenses came through.
I hope you're saying that right.
It's close.
I kind of like it.
I mean, it can't be perfectly right.
It makes sense.
It's
if it's wrong, it's even more. Yeah. You know, fits the vibe.
I was stunned that I saw that headline that there was just no atmosphere to start that series. I honestly was. I'm like, what is? There's some sort of disconnect here because I did pick up on the fact that it was not, you know, everything rosy. Not everything was great, but they got to the point. They went from out of the wild card, 2.5 games back when at the time of that. To second in the wild card when I like they moved up materially in the standings to get themselves in a firm playoff position, not firm, I guess, because they've already fallen off, but to start the series where if they break even, they're in a great spot. That's all they had to do. They set themselves up for, hey, you don't have to win 3-4. It's not a disaster if you don't. You don't have to sweep the Texas Rangers to make the playoffs. You just have to hold serve a little bit here at home and get yourself, or cement, not cement, but really firm up your spot because you took care of business. And yet there was absolutely no, there were no vibes from the team. There were no vibes from the fan base. Nobody showed up for that game, or fewer people than they have all year showed up for that game. And I understand school's back and all that stuff. But I was just stunned that the vibe didn't match what actually happened in terms of the stretch against the lower lights of Major League Baseball. That they made up that ground and it did nothing to improve the feeling around the team. That things got actually worse despite winning those ball games. I couldn't quite comprehend that. And maybe people were just seeing into the future. Maybe people just knew that it was not going to, that it was going to result the way it has, that it was going to end up the way it has with them not showing up, not being good enough to compete with this Texas team and losing all the ground they've made up over the course of three nights when they, against, you know, an actually good team. And it's been the same story all year where they cannot beat good teams. They are gatekeepers beyond all gatekeepers because they beat the teams they're supposed to beat and they lose to the teams that they're supposed to lose to. It's as simple as that, really.
It's a question that we've asked a lot of our guests over the last 2 weeks. Yesterday, Madison Shipman, Caitlin McGrath, who's there obviously at every game as well, even John Morosi this week. Like, why does everybody hate this team? I hate him now. Like, I was at that game last night, and it was a waste of my time. It was a waste of every fan's time. I could not have been more proud to literally boo this team off the field. It was disgusting. You mentioned the
booing.
I was booing. I don't think I've ever done that at a sporting event. But I felt like I needed to.
I didn't think you were capable of booing.
I needed to release this emotion. And the Blue Jays, you mentioned it, they are 51-31 against non-playoff teams and 17-28 against AL teams in a playoff spot and 29-35 versus teams in general in a playoff spot.
I guess.
They're frauds. They are frauds, Justin.
The take is that Toronto sports fans and fans of the Toronto Blue Jays are not stupid.
No.
Because we've been watching it all year long. And if you continue to lose against any team that's even trying to be competitive, that has any sort of influence in Major League Baseball, you can't beat them. And this, again, it's been laid out perfectly in the first 2 weeks of September.
And
you beat the bad teams, and you get embarrassed by a good team, and it tells you everything you need to know.
And I do not blame the fans whatsoever for why would you want to go and spend money and disrupt your routine and head to Toronto and take the GO train and go sit and watch that travesty. You're outscored 26-7 three games into the most important series of the year. You just got beat 10-0. And box score is one thing, but watching the lack of effort, the lack of care, the lack of attention to detail, this just pathetic energy from the players, I don't blame anybody for feeling a lack of energy in the seats or a lack of energy to even show up, because what do I have to get excited about yesterday? I sat there and watched this game and we got what, four singles?
It was awful.
Not even, there was nobody even close to being a runner in scoring position. Like, no, I'm on the third baseline. I didn't see one human. All I saw was the third base coach's butt the whole game. I'm like, somebody do something. Like, come close to me. The most excitement I had is being on the third baseline is when the players come and they throw a ball into the stands at the end of every inning.
You get one?
They were close. I would have thrown it back. Said, I don't want this.
Wow.
That's a bit.
This is as negative you've been for,
Justin,
for a team
it,
the entire time we've done this show.
Oh, it's just so, it's like a, I feel bad for the fans. They don't really deserve this because there was a stretch there where they're coming out real hard in numbers. It was the best atmosphere. They had a sellout week.
It's been one of the great successes of this era is that they built these new additions to the ballpark
and people came
out in droves. They were having, there was never an embarrassment. I remember 10 years ago, you're looking around, you go to a game, no one's there, and you're like, what am I doing here?
You could
here?
Walk up and buy tickets for $10, $15 back in the day, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter. And I used to buy the 500 level, and you go sit down in the 100s because the spots were empty.
Exactly.
You'd sneak down with the usher. Oh, my seats, my friends are over there. And you'd sit wherever the hell you wanted.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's so much, there's just there's just so much building, I think, with this fan base, because there's expectations. We're a victim of expectations, and I don't blame us for having those expectations 4 or 5 months ago when the Blue Jays kicked off the season, and people were saying they were World Series caliber. People were saying you have generational talent on your team. You have Bo and Vladdy and Springer and Manoah, and you have all this energy coming to a season, and you have a good stretch, and then you have a bad stretch, and then you pick up a little momentum, and then you lose it, and then you beat people that you should beat. And that's kind of fun, but it's also like, show me when it matters, right? Show me when it matters. And now you're watching this slip away in your hands at the hands of a team who basically punted the last month and gave you everything you could have asked for, and you don't even show up. It's not like they lost 6-5 and it was, oh man, I was really close. Like they didn't even, it's like they don't want to play baseball. It's like they want to get home and put their head on the pillow and cash a check and I'll see you tomorrow. It's bad.
Yeah, it is bad. And the center of everything, of course, is Vlad Jr. And, you know, he's 0 for 8 going into the game. I don't know if it was first at bat, but he has that weekly hit ground ball. He legs
Justin,
it out and he celebrates it.
That made me so mad.
I'm generally not that guy where it's like, yeah, you just got to do what you have to do to, you know, feel good about yourself, be yourself. If you're trying to change for someone else or trying to appease people, that's not the greatest thing in the world either. But this guy has got to, like, you have to be more or less tone deaf than that. Like, you have to understand your situation a little bit more than that. You are the reason why this team is mm-hmm. underperforming. You are the reason or the primary reason why the vibes are so bad, why people have fallen out of love with this team, why people have such a negative feeling, why it's so toxic. You are Exhibit A.
Exhibit A
is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And to kind of mock celebrate that single when everyone's dying for you to hit a ball with any degree of power. And I don't know if people are still touting, barrel rate and all these great things about how good he was hitting the ball and how unlucky he has been all year. For you to hit a dribble single that should have been an error and not a single, in my opinion.
And celebrate
was like, wow, this is what's going on here. This is the disconnect, because this guy doesn't get it. And this guy you may not win mm-hmm. with. This guy may not have it, or at least have what we thought he was going to bring to this organization when he was on the come up, and maybe the biggest thing, like the guy that gave you hope coming out of the last era of Blue Jays mm-hmm. baseball, which, guess what, actually had the power and the juice and the intensity and all those things that we crave out of this team. That team had it, or those teams had it. This guy was supposed to carry the torch, and now he's the guy dimming it.
I thought it was really distasteful, because I don't know if he's trying to be funny, but it's not funny. You snap a 3-game hitless streak against the Texas Rangers, where, as you said, we need one big hit to beat this team, because
fortunately you needed about 10 and you got none.
Well, give me one big hit and you run out a single, which has been,
and he ran it out. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, but to kind of like, it was like mocking a little bit. And I remember this early in the season, he got his first home run and he faked that home run jacket. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that was funny. And I was like, the home run jacket's a point of contention. And he put this fake home run jacket
Vlad
on.
Vlad.
And I was like,
do your
okay.
thing. If you're hitting home
and
runs,
I've
do your
thing.
And I've
lost all the time and energy for that now. Like every time they pan to Vlad in the dugout and he's goofing around, I've just lost all time and space for it. I don't have any energy for it. I think it's rubbed everybody the wrong way, because I understand that that's his personality and like you can be fun and whatever, but also produce, and then you get more of a leash to be fun and sunflower seeds and ice buckets. Mm-hmm. Would be lovely to see someone win a game for an ice bucket at the last little while. But
they win this game 3-1 loss to Texas and he's ice bucketing. Are we doing that?
I guess, but like
we probably are, which is ridiculous. And everyone's gonna be like, no one's gonna be around to watch
and
that.
I've played stretches of my career where I haven't, you know, produced. And I know sometimes you're trying to, it's self-talk, positive self-talk. Like, okay, I'm gonna get a single. Woo. But I just didn't need the extra little pizzazz. Like, it just felt like a little bit of a, I don't know, a little, look at me now, like, screw you guys. Like, and then you get booed off the field. Like, I hope they went home and looked themselves in the mirror and said, tonight, as in Thursday, is a must win. Like, it feels like the season is riding on tonight. It might have already been lost.
Season's on the line tonight.
I know that technically.
If there are more boos tonight, another loss, you lose four straight, you dip even further than you are, and you have all this negative emotion. You have more people coming to the ballpark this weekend with Boston coming to town ready to boo.
There'll be fans.
Things are, they're going to be fans and they're going to be angry fans. And I don't know what's like, I would definitely, if I was living and dying and wow, my life depended on them making the playoffs this year, I would be so much happier if they were going on the road after this game tonight.
Planning your funeral, buddy.
Be planning the funeral.
You're expensive. You've saved up.
But it wouldn't be my problem at that point.
That's
one thing. One thing I was thinking about last night, a couple months ago, we came to the conclusion early on in the season, at least. This is Bo's team now, right?
Mm.
But with all this, like, Vlad is the prevailing storyline of this entire season. He is, and there are negative storylines. There's Alec Manoah, we get to in a second. Can it really be, this is what I was thinking to myself, can it really be Bo's team if Vlad's issues are still the prevailing storyline? Like, if he is the determining factor, if he needs to be great for you to be even good, can it really be Bo's team? And I say that understanding that the last 6 weeks for Bo Bichette have not gone according to a plan, obviously.
Yeah.
With the injuries and being slowed by that. And, you know,
he's hitless through this series, too. So he deserves the same amount of criticism.
No, he has the built-in excuse. He does. He's got a built-in excuse because his last 6 weeks have been completely disrupted.
Okay, well, then don't play if you're injured.
I agree with that, but Vladdy gets the ire, right?
It's a whole season of Vladdy this way.
It's the whole season of Vladdy this way.
It's 6 weeks of Bo with an injury asterisk.
Can it be Bo's team? Can it really only matter with Bo if, even if Vladdy is here and not producing, that is the thing that looms largest?
I think it has to do with the fact that Vladdy has been touted as this generational hitter. We saw this season that was something that gave us all hope. Bo has been kind of in the shadow of Vladdy throughout the last couple of years. Not deservingly so, but it's Vladdy this. Vladdy's the face. Vladdy's the guy.
And Vlad's struggles overshadowing his 100%. What was a brilliant season.
And it will be it still. Like, even if he ends up the season not performing as high as he did, Bo Bichette, he's still the MVP of the season. Unless David Schneider takes that. But I remember when Vladdy got called up for his very first MLB game, I dropped everything. I went to the ballpark. I bought a jersey the night that he made his debut. I had never seen so much excitement and hope from Blue Jays fans about Vladdy. And I know his dad helps with that, the name on the back of the jersey. But Bo's got similar background. But it's just something about Vlad. He's the face of commercials. He's the guy then the stupid, what is that little Uncrustables thing, which I want to eat so badly every time I, like, the commercial gets me.
Okay, yourself.
I want an Uncrustable. But I ate.
That's the only way.
That's the side note. That's the thing that's resonating with me now.
That's the only way Vlad has influenced you in any way.
But that's why. It's like, you know, Austin Matthews' struggles will outshine Mitch Marner's great season. Same thing last year.
Did it, though?
I think so. We talked a lot about how Austin Matthews needs to pick it up. Austin Matthews, this. He's on pace for 30 goals. He was a Hart Trophy, he won the MVP. And Mitch Marner was having a great season, but it always led with Matthews not doing enough. Where would this team be if Matthews did this? Where would this team have been in the playoffs if Matthews did this? And Mitch Marner was like Bo Bichette last year.
Yeah. I think the context of Marner and what he hasn't shown sort of played into that. But these are completely opposite things, right?
Well,
you've got one team
success
in the regular season. You don't have to worry about him. You can be a little bit more picky and choosy.
This
and complain.
Team might not even make the playoffs.
This team is not going to make the playoffs, I don't think, based on how can you just... Texas reversed it. Texas was as toxic. Probably not as toxic. Was toxic, though, and they turned things around. Toronto could.
What was their recipe?
But I feel like this thing, especially, they got to continue playing home games after this series with the negativity that's surrounding this team, mm-hmm. with Vladdy celebrating legged out singles and not being able to do anything, getting lifted from the game before he can get booed in his last at bat.
That's it. Good decision, because he was going to get booed.
Yeah, he was. It's just getting really nasty. And you can't recover from nasty. You rarely recover from nasty.
You know how you can recover? Is tonight go 3-for-4.
But do
something, hit a goddamn home run. Somebody. Do something of that's how the fan base has been has been upset the last week, but you can reel us back in real quick. Like, we want something to cheer for. That's the problem, is we want something to hold on to. We've been praising Davis Schneider for the last month because he's now got an MLB best start of a 25-game series ever in the history of the MLB. We have this thing.
Team's completely sunk without him.
Yeah, and it sucks that we're wasting it. But, like, how quick we jump onto something that gives us hope. So I don't think this is a write-off. I think if the Blue Jays win tonight in dominant fashion, you got Kevin Gausman on the mound, like, it's setting up perfectly. You got booed off the field last night. We're going to see the real character of the players. If they don't show up tonight and say, we're shutting those boos up and we're flipping the script and it's going to be cheers. Like, this is the way you look at if these guys are serious or they're frauds, because it is all attention on tonight. And if you don't turn it around, I don't think anyone gives a crap for the rest of the season. Like, you lose everybody tonight.
Yeah, more so in a negative way than the positive way, because I don't think they can make many positive inroads, to be honest. Like, you win a game, that's great. You still lost three or four biggest series of the year. But you can learn a lot about the team in a negative way tonight. 100%. If they pack it in, mail it in, we see the same discontent. We see the same malaise. We see the same, like, hey, we're unfazed by being as bad as we are. Like, it's over.
I need to see someone be a leader.
Someone has to be a leader. And again, we've been looking at guys like Brendan Belt for leadership all season.
But he's not in the lineup ever.
And he's not in the lineup ever. And yeah, I mean, Matt Chapman's supposed to be, I mean, he's the guy that everyone's going to look up to.
But he's not in the lineup either.
And he's not in the lineup, but also when he was in the lineup, you know, he's been an issue pretty much the entire balance of the season. So it's looking bleak. And the upgraded take, because my initial take was, what's the disconnect? The upgraded take is that this is a complete nightmare of season masquerading as a competitive one. Like, they don't deserve to be competitive this year. It is more nightmare than it is hopeful. And it starts, you know, it's way back in the offseason. You management, what happened, trying to optimize the lineup, the Varsho thing, which is still as bad as it gets.
Having no cleanup hitter for, 120 games now? 140
having
games?
Tyler Heineman in a Texas Rangers game this week because Danny Jansen is hurt, because you traded away the guy who maybe could have been, I don't know if he can outperform Danny Jansen, but you had this surplus of catching. You had... Fangraphs had you as number one in terms of your catching depth at the major leagues to start the season, and you're rolling out Tyler Heinemann's because Alejandro Kirk can't catch every day because Danny Jansen's hurt, and you traded away the best prospect in the system, or was at the time, at least in terms of trade chips. The Manoa debacle, I mean, it's just as, like, you went from, hey, this is our Cy Young candidate year over year. This is our Garrett Cole. This is the guy who's going to lead the line for this team for the next decade to a guy who may not even pitch for this team ever again. Like, I honestly, it could be that toxic between him and the organization and the fan base and what actually happened this year. And of course, the Vlad implosion. Like, again, it's the worst possible things that could happen to this team have happened, and yet they are still in this race. But really, it's because there are so many bad teams that can't knock you out of it. They have a pretty good record, but they wouldn't have a good record if they were better teams in the American League, because guess what? They lose to good teams and they beat bad teams. That's as simple as it gets. You don't even have to, you know, dissect this team any further than that. Good teams, they can't hang with. Bad teams, they can beat. They are gatekeepers. And if there were more teams pounding on that gate, they wouldn't be in the position that they are, where they still have hope over the last 2 weeks of the season.
All I got to say before we move off this, because it's a tough way to start your morning, we will take your text at 590-590, though. Venting, totally accepted. We will read some venting. We will work through this together, because it's Baby Friday, and we don't want to have bad vibes on a Baby Friday. Is that this fan base tonight deserves something, okay? This is what sets you apart from the rest of the season, just being, like, if they get blown out again tonight, I've lost... I'm hanging on by a thread right now, and it will be real hard to get up for any other games.
That said something. You're rarely down to only a few threads.
This has taken me down a lot of positivity steps. It's just I'm feeling close. Last night was rock bottom. 10-0, biggest series of the year. 3 losses in a row to this team, booed off the field. That is the rock bottom of the Blue Jays season. Last night, and I was there, and I feel maybe a little bit of... recency bias from literally going to bed and waking up less than 8 hours ago.
Glad you went.
I'm glad I felt that, and I felt like this community of Blue Jays fans deserves more. One last thing. Let's play John Schneider on the team getting booed off the field, because this is the first time that happened all year since Anthony Bass got booed.
Let me guess. Baseball is hard. Preface it with baseball is hard?
There's something like
baseball's
that in
Baseball's a
there.
Hard sport.
Here's the quote.
Yeah, not great. You understand the fans want people, you know, they want to see exciting, winning baseball. Sure. You know, us as competitors, you know, players, staff, myself, everyone included, you don't like to hear it. But at the same time, fans, you know, we appreciate when they're voicing their frustration when it is, you know, when it is deserved. So hopefully tomorrow it's the exact opposite.
Okay. Hopefully today it's the exact opposite.
I mean, it's just so simple to give the right answer and just be like, should be a wake-up call for our team. That's all he had to say.
That's not John Schneider. Easy way out.
I know. He couches everything. Everything is, you know, he's an ultra-supportive guy, I guess, of his guys. And maybe that's not, you know, creating the best and most intense environment in a clubhouse.
Okay. You were away, and Canada won a bronze medal at the FIBA World Cup. How exciting is that, Justin?
It was very cool. One
Your
of the few things
Shay.
That I could actually be
yes.
like alive and not, you know, sleeping
yes,
for.
Yes, it was perfect timing for you in Europe.
It's not like I was going out on a limb being
Were
such
they playing
a Shay
at,
guy.
Like bars or anything, or they don't care that much?
Nah.
You couldn't like wasn't
Canadian,
on TV.
Canadian basketball.
No, but like any
exactly.
of the games. Because like there's you're in Spain. Spain's a powerhouse.
No, not really.
You were probably at like,
I watched
like
it
little fancy restaurants without TVs.
Anyway,
yes.
The Shay thing, I wasn't really ahead of anyone. Like, Shay's my guy, and we joke around about mm-hmm. that all the time. So it feels good to be like way right about that.
You were hipster.
Shay should win, I forget the name of the award, best Canadian athlete at the end, Northern Star. I mean, is there anyone who's done more than Shay? I'm not really sure. That's obviously...
Jamal won a championship in this calendar year.
Jamal Murray? You're going to give Jamal Murray a Canadian award?
Just relax.
Jamal Murray's,
sorry.
Jamal Murray's partying at the UFC
in
Australia.
Okay, I was just bringing up a perspective of somebody that is Canadian that could be in the... They'll be on a ballot, okay?
It was supposed to be a happy conversation that I want to just slam Jamal Murray again.
I mean, Jamal Murray won an NBA championship and Shay Gilgeous-Alexander
and he didn't represent
won bronze
his country.
At the FIBA World Cup. I'm not telling you it's going to be a walkaway for Shay.
Well, Shay was the best player of the tournament, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't win an NBA championship, and Jamal Murray did.
Well, he gave this country something more important than an NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets,
I think
which
that
is
an NBA
a spot
championship
in the Olympics.
Would resonate more with the casual fan right
you
now.
Think an average Canadian fan cares more about what Jamal Murray did
than a bronze
than what
medal.
Shay
I don't want that
did.
To be the case, but I
there is no chance.
Okay.
No chance.
Well, they made it to the Olympics, but they haven't played and done anything yet.
Well, that's a massive, massive,
I agree,
massive
Justin.
Accomplishment.
I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to be the unanimous vote for the Northern Star Award at the end of the season.
Maybe
okay?
not. Maybe not, but he's ahead of Jamal. He better be. I will be very upset.
Well, hopefully
if he's
you
not.
Get a vote and you can just scratch Jamal Murray's name off the page.
But the biggest person in terms of, you know, rehabilitating their image,
Justin,
and I want to be so excited about Shay.
Yes.
But I also feel some sort of guilt.
Yeah, me too. I honestly apologize
surrounding Dylan Brooks. Like I feel like I promise never, ever, ever.
No, I can't.
Will I criticize this man again? He was unbelievable.
Remember when we used to do Dylan Brooks under
yes.
in every wake and rake? We hated this guy.
And we'd make fun of him and, you know, we would jump on board. And that's actually a thing because we're going to talk about Mike Babcock. People jump on board. People love jumping on board slamming Dylan Brooks and we were guilty of it. This guy played his absolute heart out for this country and is the difference between, maybe not the difference, because Shay was
they would not
without those two and without one of them, they're not in the Olympics.
No.
Dylan Brooks is that important to this country's basketball story right now. And he deserves our apologies, and he deserves all the credit in the world for actually showing up and giving you more than we could have ever thought he would have given that team. Unbelievable. As much as we're so down on the Blue Jays, a team to be proud of, and you didn't
Couldn't
win.
Be different.
You didn't win FIBA. Mm-hmm. And you beat the United States, and that helps things a little bit in terms of whatever. You won a medal. You went to the Olympics. Yep. That's the most important thing. But people should be so damn proud of that team.
Oh, we were.
Unbelievable.
We are.
And should be so proud of Dylan Brooks and so proud of Shay and RJ and Kelly Olynyk. Like, honestly, what I'm so I feel bad that I wasn't here to be able to talk about it.
It was
when
exciting.
It was happening
because
it was so much fun to track.
I'm so happy we were on the radio for some of the games live right afterwards, reactions, because it was something that gave this, at least this radio station, this fan base, a lot of excitement. I could not have flipped my script on Dylan Brooks more. I love the guy. I'm a fan.
Wish he was a Toronto Raptor.
I would absolutely welcome him into our city with open arms. Didn't feel that way 6 months ago.
No.
Rehabilitation tournament, he didn't even need that because I think he just needed people to understand who he is, right? Didn't need to be like touted as the
maybe he needed
scapegoat.
To shut up and just like, you know, yeah. You don't have to be someone, you just have to be what you
no,
were.
That was my favorite. That might, I think that was my favorite story of the entire tournament. I know Shea is global Shea and he's going to be an MVP 1 year in that, or at least in the conversation every year. But man, Dylan Brooks, I did not see that coming. So I'm glad that it resonated over in whatever part of the world you were, because I think a lot of people are happy that he's on our side of the court.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, it's probably a lesson to him too. Like, just you don't have to go over the top.
Yeah, but I think we saw through a little bit about how he was like, you know, trying to take the narrative from Ja to like even help him, like Ja Morant. Like, I think we heard a little bit different about Dylan Brooks. And everyone we've talked to since, we've had a couple of interviews from coaches, from players. This guy is loved by his teammates.
Yeah, so and a proud Canadian, proud Miss. Like
he had the most
how to
fans
get to my
that
heart,
went
just
to
actually
Jakarta.
Love the country, yeah. Love.
His
playing
friends,
for your
family,
country,
like
have it mean something.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you.
That's the
you.
Way to my heart.
Okay, quickly. Buddy Mike Babcock back in the
unbelievable yeah? stuff. Just
how,
so
how,
good.
How do you feel about that one?
Well, I mentioned it with Dylan Brooks. Like people, like you define yourself as something, and then people are so quick to try to pigeonhole
oh,
you
that's
into
his
that.
Own fault.
So it is 100% his own fault. Mike Babcock has issues. Has a lot of issues, has had issues in his coaching career, probably hasn't changed as much as he'd like you to think
oh,
he's changed.
Oh, you didn't
changed.
Think his three-page, three-part documentary about how he's a better person?
I missed all... that. Where was that in?
Oh, God.
I saw someone.
Yeah, he's got a lot of...
Anyway.
He had the
of course.
Rehabilitation
of course.
Tour on the podium.
I'm a moron and bet on him to win the Jack Adams.
Are
I
you
thought,
kidding me?
Because I thought it was such a long price and I thought people would
what
be
was
like... Because media members love Mike Babcock.
Like 8,000?
It was something like that.
I mean, at this point,
80-1, I think
he has even more of a mountain to climb. It could be even more spectacular.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't know. If the Columbus Blue Jackets win, everyone will be really like, oh, look what he did to galvanize this team and unite everybody.
What
I will say, though,
everything.
It is about how you already view something, right? Remember when Sheldon Keefe came in here and started playing music? Imagine if Mike Babcock just showed up and started playing music, right?
I don't remember that. What do you mean?
Sheldon Keefe took over for Babcock, started playing music at practice. Like,
oh,
wow, this guy's so
yeah.
different.
It was
like,
so cool.
And he was never different at all. Sheldon Keefe is kind of the same dude. He's yeah. still, like, he doesn't, you know, ask for you to airplay pitchers, but he is a guy, a guy who is a little bit harder than he was given credit for and a bit more old school than at least people wanted to believe, at least to start. But it is how you view someone, because if someone who you liked or had the respect of the hockey world, of fan bases, was like, yeah, I really wanted to get to know our players at an intimate level, wanted to get to know at a deeper level, and not even, I would say an intimate level, but like, if someone cares about your family, cares about you and your mm-hmm. life, that's generally a positive thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and I understand asking you to airplay photos is a violation of privacy in a way. If it was done a different way and someone just deeply mm-hmm. cared about you, the individual, and wanted to know how they could help you as an athlete by helping you as a person, they would be celebrated for it, right? But because it's Babcock and because Babcock's weird and because Babcock has this history and it was portrayed in a way that was probably a bit of an exaggeration, it creates so much steam and becomes this big issue. I do probably think it's a bit of an issue. The airplaying is very, very strange. But if someone actually cares about you and wants to know more about you and shows that they want at that level to be that person for you, it's generally a good thing. But Babcock doesn't know how to be a good person, it seems like. And him trying to fake that, or him trying to show or feign compassion, clearly works against him, because that's Mike Babcock in a nutshell. He doesn't know how to be that person that he at least is trying to be. And what I think is the truth of the matter is that he would use that information against you eventually rather than to try to help you. And that's the problem with Babcock, is he does things for his own personal interests rather than for you. So it looks like, if someone who actually had the compassion, it would look like a nice thing. Hey, you want to know more and we're going to connect on this really personal level and it's great. It's not like that for Babcock. He wants to know, so he can probably come up to you one day and you're like,
You should have went to Cabo with your beautiful wife and your newborn.
What would your family think about that performance?
Maybe
something like that. Well, that's what I would think Babcock would use that information for, to try to use it against you or someone else, because that's what he's known for.
Yeah.
So I just think he just doesn't know how to exist in a world like most normal people.
He's an odd duck.
And the fact that he knows how to airplay, because I don't know how to airplay.
That's what I said. Like, my parents don't even know how to turn their phone on and off.
I'm shocked he knows how to do that. But that is, it is a stunning thing, and it probably is way more, it took on a life of its own because it's Babcock. But still, I think you, if you're skeptical, you can still be like, wow, this guy is not changed in the slightest.
Well, investigation's still going on. So this story has not been wrapped up. Still looking through it with the league and the NHLPA to find out what the truth of the matter is. But nonetheless, what a way to kick off your Jack Adams season, eh, Justin?
There's still lots of time to get the right nominee.
The puck has not even dropped. Okay, let's take a break. Let's regroup. Let's take a sip of our coffee and come back with the A-list and bring some, let's bring some positivity to the rest of the show. We got Ben Shulman to kick it off at 7 a.m. That'll help. All that to come. Justin's back on the Fan Morning Show.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Oh, I love the text line. There's just so much excitement to vent.
Misery loves company, right?
We'll definitely get to those. But I saw this wild story on Twitter. Actually, you know who retweeted? Alex Wong retweeted it.
The best part of the game last night was seeing Basil and Alex.
There was
on the
so
broadcast.
Much Sportsnet talent at the game. Like, they had 4 or 5 90 guys up there.
Who was on the air last night? I guess the baseball game was.
The guy that's going to, Ben Shulman. He'll probably be on some of our calls and we talked to him about it. Okay, but I saw this thread on Twitter retweeted by Alex Wong, so shout out. It's I got to read this. It's the Landon Howell is the guy's handle.
Okay.
Once I had the, it's a quote tweet of a question that's like, name an addiction other than drugs and alcohol. Okay.
Okay.
Once I had a friend in the early 2000s.
Betting the Jack Adams.
Yeah. Once I had a friend in the early 2000s who was so addicted to our fantasy football league that he faked the death of another team owner so he could trade for that person's best players. As commissioner, he was able to do this without anyone noticing. When caught by someone else in the league, the commissioner then took over their account and claimed that they died in a car crash. He then named the two fantasy divisions after the, quote, deceased league members. Since many league members had never met in person, we didn't learn the truth for years. Then it's got like a billion retweets. Goes, this is starting to pop off, and I had a board meeting to prep for, so I'll answer the most common questions. Yes, it worked. The commissioner dominated the league for years, mostly finishing first, but always finishing in the top three. There was no prize money in this league. That's how addicted my fellow football fan was. We played
prize money.
We played in the league for fun. $0 exchanged outside of pitching in small money for a trophy. This was in 2000, 2001. There were no social media. We weren't connected through that. We were scattered across 7 states. Most had never met in person. Only the commissioner knew the, quote, dead team owners. We only interacted on the fantasy site. One key element I left out, the commissioner would replace the, quote, dead owners with a new owner, but the new owner was just the commissioner under a fake name. Mm. How did the bad trades play out? There weren't A-plus player for C-minus player trades. There were like 2 A players for 3 B-plus players, and the commissioner was running 3 of the 12 accounts in the league so he could in turn give away one of his players to another account he controlled. Anyway, I've never heard something... I've never heard something like this. It might be the best thread I've ever read on Twitter. Absolutely unhinged behavior.
It is unhinged behavior. And there's only 2 reasons for me to play fantasy football. It's to win some money, because usually there's money on the line or something like that. And then the second would be bragging rights over your friends. And this league has neither of them. So what is the point? Other than being like,
wanted to win something,
other than being
Justin.
Like slightly psycho, psychotic.
Slightly, you're faking the fact that people's there was deaths.
The fact that they like agree or believe that there was more than one death.
Yeah, that's
like,
also kind of sketchy.
After a second death, to be like, maybe we should
like,
close
you're
this
in a
down.
Fantasy league of 12 people, and two of them happen to mysteriously die.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't want to be next. I'm out of this league.
What the hell? How insane is that story? Oh my God. If you have any fantasy football stories of craziness, we got to hear it. 590-590. That is a stunning, stunning story.
I will take 10 seconds at the end of the story to just, you know, gloat for a second after beating you in week one of our fantasy league.
You know what? You also had the most points in the entire league last week. So
I took a little bit of a different strategy. It was all quarterback crazy to start. I'm like, I'm not falling in that trap. I don't want the seventh best quarterback. I'm just going to pick other teams.
You did a great job.
I do have Russell Wilson on my team though. So that's a bit of an issue.
Okay. Well, this week is my week to make a comeback. So
there we go.
I'm 0-1, but there's a lot of season left. Okay. Whew. Shout out to all the commissioners out there that don't fake anybody's death.
Upstanding individuals.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum. Ben Shulman, Blue Jays broadcaster at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, will join us on the other side of the break on The Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish.